Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Hoping that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we are here on Black Friday coming to you. I'm hoping that you are, if you are out shopping and taking advantage of all the deals, that you are still carrying with you a sense of gratitude, a gratitude for family, for friends, and for all that the Lord has given. St. Paul tells us, or asks us, what do we have that we have not received? And of course, the answer he's expecting is nothing. And so it is a good time to re-up our gratitude, as it were. And it's also, we are on the brink of Christ the King, the solemnity of Christ the King, which brings our liturgical year to a close. And what a wonderful time at the end of the liturgical year, much as in the end of the calendar year, to take a moment to reflect. What has the Lord done in your life over the course of this last liturgical year? Can you remember back to Christ the King last year or the beginning of Advent last year? Do you remember and can you recall the things that the Lord has done in your life? Perhaps you've gone through some tremendous joys, some tremendous sorrows, some challenges, some things that the Lord has brought up in your life that has given you opportunity for some great spiritual growth. And that is a good thing to do at the end of the year, to reflect on all that the Lord has given and to return, again, thanksgiving for who He is and what He does in our lives. And it's also, seeing that it's on the brink of a new liturgical year, it's time to start thinking about maybe some New Year's resolutions. That's not something that's just for the secular calendar either. I would encourage you to think through, well, what are the ways that the Lord would like me to grow this year, this coming year? What can I commit to doing? Don't make it something that's, you know, don't put Everest up in your way that you have to climb and ascend and spend yourself entirely doing. But put something that's manageable, because the only way to get even to the top of Everest is one step at a time. So what are the steps that the Lord would like you to take this year? And specifically, as I mentioned, we're focusing in this show and this weekend on Christ as our King. And what difference does that make in our lives? What does it mean to have a King, and what does it mean to us as Catholics, certainly, as human beings, as citizens in this world? And that's what we're going to be considering with our two guests who are going to be appearing right here in studio today. I've got Jason Adkins, the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and then the former host of the Rediscover Hour, nationally known speaker and author Jeff Cavins is joining us as well. And the two of them together are going to be addressing this idea of what it means for Christ to be our King and giving us some suggestions as to how to more fully incorporate that into our lives and live it out. That's what's in front of us this morning. But before we get rolling, let's, as we always do, pause, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is indeed our King. That's what we're going to be exploring more with Jason Adkins of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Stay with us. Rediscover.
I'm Mary Jo Copeland, founder of Sharing and Caring Hands. We are celebrating our 34th year of helping people in need thanks to your generosity. More people are in need because of today's economy and need your help. To the world, you may be one person, but to that person, you may mean the world. Your donations provide meals, shelter, food, clothing, medical assistance, and lots of emergency needs. Mary's Place is our transitional shelter, housing 100 families each night. The last count, we have about 450 kids and 150 adults. Your generosity helps thousands of people each week. 91% of your tax-deductible donations go to meet the needs of the poor. We take no government funding and rely solely on your donation. To learn more and see what a difference your donations make, visit our website at sharingandcaringhands.org. It would tour you through our facilities and explain what we do. You can donate online or mail donations to Sharing and Caring Hands. Please give generously, help the poor and unfortunate, assist the families, and give hope to the children. May God bless you all.
It's more than you need. Safe here with me. It all starts the moment you believe.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. And isn't it great to hear from someone, a saint in the making, no doubt, Mary Jo Copeland, and the things that she is doing in our midst and inviting us to be generous with our lives, which I think is the best way of returning thanks for all that God has given us, to live a life of generosity as well. And it's a way of honoring Christ as our King, which is our focus for the show today. And joining me now in studio, Jason Adkins, the director, executive director, of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. He's been on the show before, and it's great to have him back. So welcome to the program, Jason.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Great to be with you. I know I ask you to do this frequently, but in your, I know you have it down to a science as well, so I'll ask you to do it again. Just in case anybody's listening who doesn't know, what is the Minnesota Catholic Conference?
Well, basically, it's the Conference of Bishops, and the Conference of Bishops of Minnesota, they get together and they have a number of strategic initiatives and the things they do collaboratively and collectively, and one of those is public policy. So one of our main responsibilities is to bring the bishops' public policy initiatives into the public square, into the state capitol, and to a lesser extent, the halls of Congress as well.
Wow, wonderful. Well, thank you for all your good work in that and all your colleagues as well. It's great that you are working so diligently for those important reasons. So, as you've heard, we are focusing on Christ the King, which is but 2 days away, the celebration of the solemnity of Christ as our King. And I guess as kind of a kickoff, I just knowing that you work regularly and faithfully, both with Catholics, Catholic bishops and Catholic laity, and promoting that in the polis, as it were, in the political realm, what does it mean that Christ is our King both as Catholics and as citizens?
Well, we pray with the prayer of the church in the Our Father, Thy kingdom come. We pray in the creed, He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We know from the Old Testament prophecies that Christ is truly King. But we know that His kingdom is not of this world, right? The doctrine of the kingship of Christ and his coming again in the final judgment is a source of great hope. But we know that it's also our responsibility to make Christ's kingdom present on earth. Mm. There's a saying in the church that originates from Pope Pius XI that there will be the peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. But as St. Jose Maria was fond of saying, that peace of Christ will not come until Christ reigns in each of our hearts, right?
Right.
Now, there's often a lot of confusion about, well, what does that really mean for Christ to reign in our hearts? I think we can take it very basically. He reigns in our intellect. He reigns in our will, and He reigns in our charity and love for others. How does He reign in our intellect? Because He is truth, and we are responsible to be obedient to that truth.
Yep.
He reigns in our will when we conform our will, as He did, to the will of the Father.
Mm.
And He reigns in our hearts when we live charity as He loved charity. No greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means for Christ to reign in our hearts. So if we apply that to the context of citizenship, to say that Christ is all truth, do we live Catholic social teaching? Do we embrace it in our intellect? Do we conform our conscience and form our conscience in accordance with Catholic social teaching and to think with the mind of the church and to bring that truth into the public square? Do we follow the will of Christ in all things? Are we prayerfully discerning what He asks of us in each individual situation, particularly is our in our responsibility as faithful citizens? And then, do we speak the truth in love? Now, the ultimate pastoral thing to do is to live the truth, but it's not every dissemination of the truth or not every way of speaking the truth is pastoral or charitable. So when we do speak the truth that the church gives lovingly to us, do we do so in a way that builds bridges, that fosters relationships, that shows kindness and makes truth attractive, not something that pushes people away?
Right. Very, very well put. I'm just wondering, given your position and as both a faithful Catholic, but also in the Minnesota Catholic Conference, It seems to me that you might have some unique insights and perspectives as to what are some of the major lures away from letting Christ reign in our hearts. What are some of the things that you see in society at large, maybe in a particularly that you have a privilege to see in your positions, that would lure us away, again, that would tempt us away from letting Christ reign in our hearts?
The main things are idols, mm-hmm. I-D-O-L-S.
Yes.
And the lies that we are told by Satan that happiness can come from some other source. Now, that has a personal dimension, of course, right? And we're all guilty of this. I'm certainly guilty of it, too, is to make other things idols and to put those in our hearts, to let those occupy our hearts and to draw us away from him, to focus on the things we love, food, sports, entertainment, our work, and to make idols of those. In the public square, it's the same temptation that happiness doesn't come through observance of Christ and his divine laws, but happiness comes through some natural religion. There's a wonderful passage, sort of eerie actually, in the Catechism, section 675, that I would encourage people to read in their prayers in light of this solemnity of Christ the King, is that in the end times, the church says and tells us in the Catechism, that we'll be lured away by false religions and false elixirs that show the answer, or seemingly show the answer to all our problems. But this is a lie, right? This is another of those idols that are created for us, that politics ultimately can bring about the kingdom of God. This is false. Politics is limited in its scope and its jurisdiction. It can help us bring about those conditions, but ultimately, until the laws of Christ and the peace of Christ reigns in the hearts of all, there will be no kingdom present here on earth. So again, Catechism section 675 is worth prayer and meditation.
Wonderful. So I'm wondering then, from the perspective of the bishops and the Minnesota Catholic Conference then, what is the role, if you can do this succinctly, what is the role of government? What's the proper perspective on government? If it's not to bring about Christ's kingdom on earth, which I think we can all agree on, what is the role of government?
Well, when Pope Pius XI created the Feast of Christ the King in 1925, there was a sense that this whole idea of Christendom, right, a Christian imperium, was slipping away. He put this feast near the Feast of All Saints, the observance of all souls, the church, to recognize that there's not just the church penitent and triumphant, but also the church militant, that until the nations of the world observed Christ's laws and recognized them as such in their government, that there would be no peace of Christ. Unfortunately, the experience of the 20th century totalitarian regimes, communism, fascism, all sorts of atrocities against the dignity of the human person, I think caused a rethinking of this. And what can the state realistically accomplish? Can we and should we work to foster explicitly Christian kingdoms in their laws and in the way in which the rulers observe and encourage others to observe the divine laws of Christ? Or is the state's role and responsibility more limited, basically working for the enactment of the common good and observing the natural law, but most fundamentally, with regard to the church, allowing her to pursue her mission? The church is an evangelical mission moving in history, a pilgrim church, that their experience is that the perpetuation of Christendom undermined the expansion of Christianity and the missionary imperative of the gospel. So the church, to a degree after the council, abjured this desire to demand that every state observe the divine laws of Christ and instead merely allow her to perpetuate her mission in freedom so that free peoples, free in conscience, could recognize the divine truth of the Savior.
Yeah, because the divine truth of and the divine reign of the Savior is not something that's a matter of popular opinion or the thought of the government, whatever powers may be, but it is an absolute truth. And so to recognize that, even in the course, in the face of pretty severe, even persecution, is to say that Christ still reigns, right?
That's right. And it's not to say that the church doesn't hope that nations don't
recognize
Christ and observe his laws, but it's a focus that ultimately the kingship of Christ is more eschatological, to use a term, right? He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom is not of this world. And so that politics, per se, has limited jurisdiction. It doesn't have jurisdiction over theological question. It shouldn't necessarily be the one that proclaim Christ as Lord. Now, it can work collaboratively with the church, right, to create those conditions for human flourishing, can observe the natural law. But it's really the responsibility of the church as the evangelical movement of history to proclaim Christ.
Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of what you're saying. I'm drawn to just a concept of freedom of religion, which I know, especially in recent times, has been a focus of the Minnesota bishops as well as the national bishops as well, with some of the things that have come down politically. Where do we stand right now, do you think, in your opinion? Where are we in terms of freedom of religion in our society today?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head, Patrick, in calling our minds to religious liberty, and something that was underscored by the Second Vatican Council in its document Dignitatis Humanae, that religious liberty is part of, and recognizing that as part of, the dignity of the human person. The council learned a lot from the American experience. They saw here a putatively secular state that where the church flourished, where its evangelical mission flourished, unlike in some other historically Catholic countries that were riven with anti-clericalism and the church seemed to be in retreat. So they looked to the American experiment in order, liberty, and religious liberty, and said, here perhaps is a new way and a new model for us. But it's important to recognize, again, that Christ still is king, even in that context. It's our mission to still make him reign in our hearts and minds. Now, with regard to religious liberty, I think there are some challenges on the home front, and a lot of those have been addressed in recent years. We still have concerns about religious liberty, that it's a dignity and a right of all people to exercise freedom of conscience. But at the same time, the challenges we face here, though grave and concerning, are nothing to what's being faced by our brothers and sisters abroad, particularly in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So as part of the observance of Christ the King, this Sunday, the church is beginning a week of prayer in solidarity for suffering and persecuted Christians and other minorities in the Middle East. And if you go to our website, mncatholic.org, again, that's mncatholic.org, you can click right on the link on the homepage to the resources that the church is putting out there for prayer, for study, and for consideration about people who are suffering real and intense persecution, and in some cases, genocide in the Middle East.
Right, right. And it's sponsored not only by the USCCB, the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, but also the Knights of Columbus, Catholic Relief Services, Aid to the Church in Need, and CNAWA, which is, I mean, all together. So it's a collaborative effort and front to recognize that, yeah, we are one body in Christ, and that part of the body is suffering because of some pretty pronounced persecution. I think, you know, the persecution that we face here tends to be certainly political. Sometimes we can be derided in public and that sort of thing. But I don't know that it's frequent that we suffer physical persecution or a direct attack or an assault on the dignity of our personhood physically, as do some of the other folks, especially in the Middle East, as you said. Do you have any? In anticipation of this upcoming solidarity and suffering event and focus of prayer, have you done any reading? Have you seen anything about the persecution of Christians around the world, or particularly in the Middle East?
Yeah, there's an abundance of resources on that website. If for people who want to know more, there's a great report that was just released by the Notre Dame Center for Ethics and Culture about the extent of persecution in the Middle East, numbers, figures, dynamics, trends, some real challenging and, I think, material for prayer for all of us to see that our suffering brothers and sisters. We can work for their good. We can pray for them. You mentioned a number of agencies, Patrick, Catholic Near East Welfare Association, Aid to the Church in Need, CRS, Knights of Columbus, who are actively working on the ground. And, you know, it's to say, how can we work for the well-being of our brothers and sisters? We, you know, we think globally and act locally, but there are also things we can do on a global scale to be in solidarity with them. And this page that we have linked on our website is a great way of finding some resources and practical things that you can do to be in solidarity with the suffering of our brothers and sisters, who are, in a way, are modeling the suffering of our Lord.
Right.
And we know that Christ's kingship and his reign comes through love, and often that's a dimension of suffering, right?
Is it
that is. His throne is the cross.
Yeah.
Right. So these folks who are suffering, in some cases, martyrdom and loss of their homes, they're forced to flee, become migrants and refugees. There are many ways are living the passion of our Lord. And we know that just as suffering can be redemptive, we pray that their suffering is a redemptive and a witness to our Lord as well. And we can join in solidarity in that suffering.
Yeah. And it's a daunting wish, I suppose. But at the same time, we see it all the way back to St. Paul, who said, if I might share in Christ's sufferings to somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead, which is, as you said, suffering in and of itself, if given to the Lord and through the Lord, is redemptive, which is a wonderful thing. My guest is Jason Adkins. I'm not wondering about that. But my guest is Jason Adkins, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. We're talking about Christ the King here on the Rediscover Hour. Jason, I'm wondering what else is occupying the thoughts of our good Minnesota bishops at the time. I know the entirety of the USCCB met just last week, and so that's something that's I'm sure has stirred up some particular issues. And how do you see those perhaps coming home to roost here in Minnesota?
Well, related to the point about the suffering of persecuted Christians and other minorities in the Middle East, questions surrounding migration and refugees here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an issue that challenges a lot of people in their hearts. There are a number of important policy questions related to that, but at the most basic one is how can we serve and be of assistance to those in need, right? How can we do so that's consistent with the common good, but most importantly, respect the dignity, safety, and well-being of those persons who are, in fact, migrants? So, again, working for the well-being, in some cases, opening our nation to refugees from the Middle East, but also, of course, the immigration issue here at home in Minnesota with a predominantly Latino immigration population. We know that the president has set a timeline for the end of DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. There's an urgency around creating a status, or at least putting those folks on a path to citizenship, creating some protected status for those people who came here as young people with their parents or with a parent who know no other nation, who've built a life here, and now are seeking to stay here as well instead of being returned to a place that is really, truly, in some cases, foreign. So this is a major concern of the bishops nationally, certainly our local bishops here. We have Immigration Sunday coming up on the Feast of the Epiphany this year. That's always an annual observance of the Minnesota bishops, and it's a way in which we help understand the challenges that our migrant brothers and sisters face, but also find out and identify other ways we can, as parish communities, as dioceses, and as a local church, can take action surrounding that. And the most important thing, I think, right now from a political standpoint, is letting our congresspersons know about the importance of passing the DREAM Act, which would create a legal status for childhood arrivals.
Excuse me. Yeah. And I think that as you've given us some great fodder, great suggestions for what we can do as Catholic citizens, as both Catholics and citizens, something that in my mind draws, although Christ's kingdom is ultimately an eschatological kingdom, we are, as you've already said, called to make the kingdom present now and present here, if and when and how Christ reigns in and through our own hearts. And I'm grateful for that. Want to hit just again that if people are wondering how they might set apart Christ as Lord, Christ as King, want to say that you can go, come Sunday anyway, you can go to mncatholic.org, was it, or com?
.org, mncatholic.org.
mncatholic.org. And click on the information about Solidarity and Suffering, a Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians, both on the Sunday, Christ the King, as well as a week of awareness starting on Sunday and going through the following week as well. Jason, just as we're winding down here our time together, I'm curious if you have any particular Advent traditions in your own family. Are there anything that you do to set apart Advent as a special season?
Well, we try to, as much as possible, make Advent still a penitential season and let it be a way in which we build up to, rather than one day of celebration, 12 days of feasting. If you don't know how to fast, you don't know how to feast.
Amen.
Right? So we do the Jesse tree at home. We don't put up a Christmas tree until Christmas Eve and decorate. Well, we put up a tree, but we don't decorate it until Christmas Eve. We use the Jesse tree tradition. And I love that. We always have the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols from the Cambridge singers in England, and listen to that, decorate the tree on Christmas Eve, and then really try to observe an Epiphany observance in which, you know, it's really 12 days of feasting leading up to Epiphany. So that's a wonderful tradition and something that brings, I think, greater joy through that whole season and really extends that time of celebration.
Amen. And one of the things that just to tie it in together, one of the things that I love about Advent is a time of looking forward to the coming of Christ is that we not only look forward to him coming in his infancy, but we also look forward to him coming at the consummation of all things. And as he comes to reign in splendor and in glory, that the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. I mean, it's kind of that looking ahead to Christ's kingship being not surpassed necessarily, but actually fulfilled, consummated in all ways. And that's a beautiful, That's a beautiful thing about the season of Advent.
The wood of manger becomes the wood of the cross, right?
Right.
Or even in a devotion like the Infant of Prague, you see still, even as an infant, he's still king.
He's still king, right, right. The newborn babe in Bethlehem is a king. Okay, we're not going to get too Christmassy here yet. We're just winding up the liturgical season. All right, so, well, Jason, it's been great to have you on the program yet again, and we look forward to your next visit with us as well. In the meantime, God bless you in all that you do with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and keep us in your prayers. We'll keep you in ours.
Yeah, we need them, so please keep the staff and bishops of the Minnesota Catholic Conference in your prayers, and we'll certainly keep the listeners of Relevant Radio in ours.
Wonderful. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
We are going to come back right after this, and we will be kicking in with Jeff Cavins, a nationally known speaker, and he is going to be talking to us about fathers, sons, and Bible boot camp. Stay with us.
Attention bargain hunters, it's the Black Friday Chevy model closeout.
Mabzak Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine has the best Black Friday deals of the year on all remaining 2017 Chevys.
Plus, Mabzak Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine will give you a flat screen TV with any vehicle purchase.
All remaining 2017 Silverados, Tahoes, Suburbans, and Express vans have employee pricing. That's right, employee pricing and a flat screen TV with any vehicle purchase.
Up to 20% off remaining 2017 Cruze, Malibu, Impala, and Spark models. But don't miss out because it all ends November 28th at 6 p.m.
Don't miss the Black Friday Chevy model closeout at Mabzak Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine. Shop online at sacchevy.com or call 855-678-1500. That's 855-678-1500, extension 75.
Chevy, find new roads.
My Catholicism is what informs me, drives me.
Drew Mariani.
I think you'll enjoy the issues that we'll be able to take a look at.
Bringing the drive alive. Drew Mariani. Weekdays at 2 Central on Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
Isn't it beautiful? Is it a
back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you, along with Susanna Parent. Our producer, Paul Sadek, is back in the technical producer seat. Great to have him back with us after pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And, my next guest is probably well known to all of you, as he was the former host of this very show, the Rediscover Hour, as well as a nationally known, probably internationally known now, speaker and author. Great to have him with us again. Jeff Cavins, welcome to the studio.
Good to be with you. Good to be sitting here in familiar territory.
Yeah. Very, very well done. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that we have a chance to talk about Bible boot camp. You've got something coming up that way, I don't know. Should I be afraid? What is Bible boot camp all about?
Well, that's a good question. We have a Bible boot camp coming up December 2nd at St. Therese in Deep Haven. It's a Saturday, and we are going from 7 a.m. to 3:30 in the afternoon. And it is just exactly what the title says. It's a Bible boot camp. It's an opportunity for men to come together and to really get immersed in the world of Scripture. And it's not for people who have a lot of experience. It is, but it's for any guy that really wants to learn the Bible, not only for himself, but to be a more effective and fruitful husband and a more fruitful and effective father as well, or grandfather.
Right. And are there any chin-ups involved?
There's a couple spiritual chin-ups.
Oh, okay. All right. I might be better at those.
Yeah. No, you know, it's gonna be a fun day. It's going to be a good day. We have food and prayer and an immersion into Scripture that any guy that has zero experience is going to do just fine, because we're taking people from 0 to 60 in one day. And it's going to be good. Going to be good.
So this is all the way through? I mean, is it Genesis to Revelation? You're going to get the whole shebang?
The whole shebang. Yeah. Shebang is Hebrew for the whole thing. Yeah. No, what we're going to do, we're going to go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. But I think even more importantly, we're going to start off talking to the guys about the need for the Bible in their life. You know, why? Why should I commit to something like this? And it's confusing to a lot of guys. You know, they open up the Bible and and they don't know exactly what to do. And part of the reason for that, Patrick, is that it's not written in chronological order. So they start reading, expecting it to be this amazing story. And they read, Genesis and Exodus, and it's fairly straightforward. But then they hit Leviticus, and they quit. They've lost the narrative. We're going to show them how to avoid that. How do you read the Bible? And in answering the question, how do you read the Bible for what? Mm-hmm. Well, to get to know the heart of their Heavenly Father, to get to know His plan, as paragraph 236 of the Catechism talks about. But it'll also provide for men a foundation for devotions, for the rest of their life, which is something in the Catholic Watchman movement here in the Twin Cities that we are advocating on a daily basis, is that men will encounter Christ in Scripture on a daily basis. And if you're going to do that, it's best to know the overarching story that you are dipping into every day. But not only will it give men a foundation for their devotions and learn the heart of their Heavenly Father and His plan, but I think it will better equip them to be leaders and providers and protectors in their family when they meet these great men of God in salvation history.
Yeah. Well, you're anticipating my next question, which was, as you've already outlined, this is for men, maybe particularly for fathers and sons. And in fact, I believe sons under the age of 18 come free.
Yes. We're encouraging it.
Yeah.
Bring your boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring your boys.
Great. So why the choice to do this just for men? What's involved in that?
No, that's a good question. I speak around the country at men's conferences. I also speak at women's conferences occasionally around the country. And what I have found is that when we talk to people personally about their relationship with God, there are things that are specific to men as far as strengths and insecurities and temptations and the emotional makeup of a man, the responsibilities of a man, the impediments in their life and so forth, the desire for fellowship with other men. And when you get men together, you can talk to them more directly than you can a mixed audience. There are things that I would talk to men about that I wouldn't feel necessarily comfortable talking to women about.
Sure.
It's not prudent to do that. But I would talk to men, and to have them collectively there together, doors shut, you can talk to them. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of this event, December 2nd at St. Teresa in Deep Haven, this is going to be sticking with Scripture and how to go about it and making it fun and making it a challenge for men that I think they're going to step up to. And it's going to be age appropriate because we are asking them to bring their boys.
Right.
But I tell you, of all the conferences I do, my favorite are the men's conferences.
Really?
Because we can just talk straight with each other, and there's no... there's nothing to hide, and we're not pretending to be somebody we're not.
Very good. Yeah, very, very important as well. And it's run under this Bible boot camp is being run under the auspices of the local Catholic Watchman movement as well. So again, just building up strong men in our communities, strong fathers, strong leaders, strong husbands, and those that are after the Lord's own heart. And which is a phrase that's frequently attributed to, of course, King David. And that being the case, so you already alluded to this, but so you'll be looking at the lives of various men throughout the Scriptures as well. Is that right?
Yeah, the day's going to kind of look like this. We're going to start off with a basic introduction to the Bible, how to navigate through the Bible, right ways and wrong ways to approach it, and its place in our lives as Catholic men. And then we're going to, with a gigantic chart behind me of the Bible, I mean gigantic, it's about 8 feet high and 20 feet long, and we're going to go through the whole story, kind of like getting in a helicopter and going up above the story and going quickly through it, so that people get, so the men get a sense of the feel, the texture of this amazing story without spending a lot of time going deep at any particular point.
Mm-hmm. And with the reference there to men in the Bible, certainly King David, and we are coming up on the solemnity in a couple days now of Christ the King. I'm just curious from your own thoughts, from the salad bar of your mind, where might the image of Christ as king be especially appealing to men in their lives of faith? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that when you look at the subject of the king from a biblical perspective, you go all the way back to Genesis and you see that Adam and Eve basically booted God off the throne of their heart. And from that point on, God has been trying to re-enter the human race as king. And you come to about 1000 BC where David comes to God and Second Samuel, and he says, 2 Samuel 7, and he says, I want to make you a great house, a permanent house. You've been living in this tent all this time. And God says, I'm okay, but no, I'm going to make you a house. I'm going to make your name great. And so from 2 Samuel 7 on, you know, something has changed, and that is that God made a covenant with David, and it was a royal kingdom that was established. And earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people said, we want a king, like all the other nations. And it bothered Samuel. But God said, no, Samuel, give them what they want. They want a king. And God wanted to be their king. So God basically gave them what they needed, a king, wrapped in what they wanted, a king like all the other nations. And this is the first chance, the first opportunity where we see that God is going to allow them to have a king, but the king should rule and reign the way God would. Mm-hmm. So when we look at David and we look at the subsequent, you know, kings, we are reminded that God is a God who rules and reigns with justice and mercy and kindness and love and very, very patient, you know, with us. That didn't always work out in the Bible, but the idea is that when we look at a king, ultimately that's the way that God rules and reigns. And we as men and fathers, that's the way that we should be conducting ourselves with our family, the way God rules and reigns in love and kindness, patience and tenderness.
Right, and humility, yeah, too, mm-hmm. as well. That this is, I think sometimes I can be tempted, speaking for myself anyway, I can be tempted of looking at when somebody suggests that I might be living as Christ the King in my own family or in my work environment, whatever that would be, that you know, I get all the pomp and circumstance about it. But then you have to go back and remember, don't you, that Christ's throne is his cross and his crown is one of thorns.
Right.
And that there is something about humility, self-sacrifice of suffering that is redemptive and it is life-giving to those around us.
Yeah.
Wonderful thing. So my guest is Jeff Cavins, nationally known author and speaker, talking to us about Christ the King, but also about this upcoming event, Men's Bible Boot Camp, which is taking place Saturday, December 2nd. From 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., so with a 7:30 a.m. Mass, 8 a.m. check-in, and the day itself, the boot camp will go from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's going to take place at St. Teresa down in Deep Haven. The cost is $40, which includes a workbook, donuts. Ooh, donuts.
And lunch.
A hearty lunch, yes. And it's free for sons under 18. So dads who are listening or moms who are listening, encourage your husbands and your sons to go. Yeah, you don't even have to shell out any extra for the kids. They can come along, and it'll be, I'm sure, a wonderful event with Jeff Cavins. If you're looking for more information, you can go to rediscover-faith.org and click on Catholic Watchman. You can also go and register at st-therese, that's st-therese.org/events. And that's how you can find out more information and register for this wonderful Bible boot camp that's coming up. Jeff, I thought we would return just a little bit to what you've been doing since you've not been on the Rediscover Hour here for a while now, and I'm just wondering what you've been up to over the past year or so.
Well, number one, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You do a fantastic job. Over the last year, you know what? I've been traveling. I've been writing. I developed a wisdom study, and went to Israel. I'm enjoying my grandchildren, to be honest with you. I've got two grandsons, Dominic and Francesco, and I have another one on the way. My daughter is pregnant, and she has another one on the way. We're really excited about that. And coming up, you know, this next year, the Lord is really, in prayer, I felt like the Lord was saying something to me that I've never heard before at this level, and that was, come away with me. And so 2018 is going to be a year of more, I think, intense prayer, less on the road, more in the Twin Cities, but really seeking the Lord, because I'm working on a couple of projects that I think require a transformation in my own life. You know, you don't just stand up and teach, but you've got to live this. And I feel like the Lord is saying, come away with me. I want to show you some things that I cannot show you if you continue your pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's true of even our listeners, you know, at times where God wants to speak to them, but we're going at breakneck speed. Mm. That's what I feel like the Lord is doing this coming year. Is He really wants me to spend more time with Him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the quality of that relationship, not just the quantity of producing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as we're rounding out the liturgical year, this Sunday with Christ the King, we then enter into Advent. I was speaking with Jason Adkins earlier that Advent is this time of waiting, of preparation, and that sort of thing. And that can be your sense of maybe slowing down a bit, mm-hmm. opening up some space in your life for the Lord to speak. That seems to run part and parcel with Advent. So I'll ask you the same question I ask him. Any particular Advent traditions that go on in your household or in your family, or anything you can recommend to our listeners for a good way of practice Advent?
Sure. Well, you know that the marketing machine out there has over the years slowly stolen, you know, the holiday from us.
That's right. And the war on Advent.
Yeah, it started in November. Christmas started in November. I think it's more of the shopping started in November. Mm. So one of the things that we're doing this year, my wife and I, is that we're really not focusing on the media much this year, and we're trying to spend that time spiritually preparing our hearts. And we have girls that are grown now, all three of them, and so to bring them back into the fold to participate is a bit of a challenge because they're out and about. But that's on Minnesota. Out and about. but we're doing that ourselves, you know, sort of backing off from the material aspect of it and looking at the spiritual aspect of it. My wife and I go to holy hours, pray together, and every morning, every single morning, I make tea for my wife, and we sit for about an hour every morning, and we wow. talk, and we can have a chance to pray about, you know, the kids and so forth. So that's one way that we are preparing for Advent is pulling back. And I typically don't take speaking engagements during Advent too much. So it's a way for me to pull back a little bit and wait on the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, you've got this Bible boot camp the eve of Advent.
Yeah.
So right before Advent yeah. 1. So yeah, so you're rounding out the liturgical year with Bible boot camp, which again, we'll come back with some more details about that just one more time before we say goodbye to Jeff, but before you do go, Jeff, I'm curious as to if there's somebody out there, some of our listeners right now, maybe they're relatively new to the Bible. Now, you've already said Bible boot camp is for any level of familiarity with the Scriptures, mm-hmm. but say they can't make it, or perhaps it's some of our women listeners who are out there. What would you suggest is a good way into the Scriptures, maybe sure. for the very first time?
Well, I get the question a lot, and it usually comes out, which book should I start with?
Right.
You know, that type of thing. And my answer is the whole thing. And what I mean by that is the Great Adventure Study, which I've been involved with most of my life now, my adult life. And that is teaching people the whole story very quickly so that they can go deep into books and understand those books in the context of the whole. But I would say this, that when you think of Bible study, oftentimes people think of theology and doctrine and dogma and so forth. I think we've got to move that aside when we first approach Scripture and realize that this is a relationship, mm-hmm. that reading the Bible is a relationship. It is a letter written from our Heavenly Father to His children for the purpose of revealing who He is. And He does that in word and deed in the Bible, but He reveals His heart. And He reveals His plan. And that's what men need and women need today, is they need to know His heart. Is He dependable? Is He arbitrary? Can He change on a dime? No. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants you to know that more than you want to know that. And He knows you better than you would know yourself if you had 10,000 lifetimes. Mm. He wants that relationship with you. He wants to reveal His plan to you. Why? Because this provides a foundation for trusting Him. Mm. And wow, Patrick, we need that today, don't we?
Amen.
We, you watch the news today, and my wife and I we're kind of staying away from the news right now. It's so discouraging for people to watch the news. We need to start trusting in God. And to do that, we've got to build this foundation and get to know who He is. And that comes from massive amounts of time with him. There's no shortcut, but wow, is it worth it to spend the time to get to know him and his plan, his heart, and that can be transferred also onto your children as they see that mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, wow, they really trust God even in tough times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And actually, that anticipates my next question, which is, what about those people who are going through tough times? I mean, I know that it's you find a lot of hope in the scriptures. It reveals the heart of God to us, mm-hmm. Which gives us, I mean, hope even in the toughest of times and in immense amount of sufferings. Our hope in that Christ is still King, Christ still reigns, and that He will not abandon us. Mm-hmm. Similar advice to those who are just coming into the Bible. Maybe people are in a tough time in life and just need some word of encouragement in the scriptures.
Sure. I think coming from the scriptures, Patrick, the word of encouragement that I would give all who are listening right now is taken from the book of Nehemiah. Mm. You know, with the book of Nehemiah, it was written at a time when Judah came back from captivity from Babylon for 70 years. The temple was destroyed. The scriptures were gone. The community was dispersed. Things were not looking good. And so when they came back from Babylon, they came back in three waves. In the first wave, Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. And then Ezra started teaching the word of God. And then Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. Those three things are key to us if our life is in a shambles, because for us, those three things are equivalent to rebuilding the temple, the sacramental life, the Eucharist, the celebration, the sacrifice. Number two is Ezra taught the law, the word of God. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. Those three things, the first one is the temple, which really stands for the sacraments and the liturgy. The Ezra teaching the word is, of course, scripture study and meditation on scripture. The third one is Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. A city was never considered a city until they had walls around it. That's right. What gave them their solidarity, a sense of community. So if somebody has really gone through it lately, mm-hmm. and they feel like, you know, if anything, I need to be like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Mm-hmm. Those three things are important. You need the sacraments, and you need the liturgy and the Eucharist, the source of grace. You need the Word of God to lead you, guide you, and heal. And you need the community. You really do need the community. You can't do this on your own. So for those who are struggling, those who are suffering, these three things that Nehemiah gives us are apropos today. They are really, it's really good advice to go deeper into the sacraments, deeper into scripture, and deeper into the life of your parish.
Right. And what about just one more hypothetical to throw at you in case our listeners out there, we've just come through Thanksgiving, and St. Paul charges us to give thanks in all circumstances. How do we do that? What is St. Paul getting at? Why is it important? And how do we, even in those tough times, how do we give thanks in all circumstances?
Sure. Well, to quote Father Gallagher, who talks about the examine prayer at the end of the day, the examine prayer begins with thanksgiving. Mm. And the reason is that when we take time to thank God for His gifts in our life, even if your life looks like it's out of control and it cannot be redeemed, there are things in your life that are gifts from God. And if you take the time to thank God, it will tie you to the gift giver. If you thank Him, thank God for the gifts, there's the gift giver, God. And when you begin to thank God, it doesn't change God, but it changes you in your perspective. No longer are you looking at your problems in life from simply your perspective, your limited knowledge, your limited resources, your limited power, but you are looking at your circumstances from God's perspective, unlimited power, unlimited circumstances, and so forth. And that's what changes us. It reminds me of the 10 lepers who were going down the road and they were healed. And Jesus' observation was only one turned around and said thanks. And so we have to ask ourselves, are you that one?
Yeah, be that one, right?
Or are you one of the nine?
Right. Be that one who comes back and says thanks to the Lord. Well, I wanted to, before we say goodbye to you, Jeff, I wanted to revisit again just this men's Bible boot camp. So a Bible boot camp for men of all ages, including those under 18. Sons under 18 attend for free, starting with 7:30 a.m. Mass, then 8 a.m. check-in, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. is the boot camp itself with Jeff Cavins. That's Saturday, December 2nd at St. Therese in Deep Haven. You can register online at st-therese.org/events. If you want more information and a link to registration, go to rediscover-faith.org, click on Catholic Watchman, and that'll bring it up for you. Jeff, it's been so great having you on the show. I pray all goes well with Bible Boot Camp, but also in your continued ministry.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to be with you.
Yeah. God bless. So we are going to take our final break now, and when we come back, there's the Bible Boot Camp, but there's a lot more going on in our area too, so stick around and get involved.
Rediscover.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. Every Army National Guard member serves not only to protect the nation, but also their local communities, so they each have a stake in the security and well-being of the neighborhoods where they live and work. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. Since the early days of our republic, the Army National Guard has continued its timeless commitment to guarantee peace and security for all Americans, a proud legacy which has endured for nearly four centuries. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. Selfless service, it's what inspires the men and women of the Army National Guard to be part of something greater than themselves. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are an ocean. I can get lost in the first wind on my shore. You are the sunrise.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Sitting across from me once again is Paul Sadek, who's back from pilgrimage.
Oh, my.
Oh, man. Do we have another hour?
You
to
don't
talk
have
about
seven
it?
Or 8 hours yeah, to well, hear about okay. it, do you?
No, unfortunately, no. We can't show pictures on the radio.
And
so.
You want to hear about what's going on around I the do. Twin Cities? Well, all are welcome to the veneration of a first class relic of St. John Paul II and to hear stories of his life shared by Mother Adela and the servants of the pierced hearts of Jesus. At St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, Wednesday, November 29th, as well as Guardian Angels in Chaska, Thursday, November 30th. You can tell I was on a plane for 12 hours.
A little jet-lagged.
Yeah. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org. In addition, Church of St. Joseph in St. Paul invites you to their parish on the first Friday of December to venerate this relic of St. John Paul II. They'll have confessions at their parish at 5 p.m., Mass at 5:30, Adoration and First Friday prayers and devotions at 6. St. John Paul II's relic in the main church for veneration, 6:30 p.m. Light refreshments, hospitality to follow in the Monsignor Foreign Great Room.
Looking for something else to do in Advent? It is the sacred season that prepares the faithful for the celebration of the great feast of Christmas. You are invited to the four-week Advent Bible study, A Journey Through Bethlehem, with Father John Eckert. This study will run from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday, November 29th through Wednesday, December 20th at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in South St. Paul. The cost is a mere $15 per person, which includes materials and a snack. For more information and to register, visit the Bible study page on rediscover-faith.org.
Learn the basics of the Bible in one day. Man, you're invited to the Catholic Watchman Bible Boot Camp with Jeff Caven, Saturday, December 2nd. It's at St. Therese in Deep Haven, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. This is an event for all men, but it'll focus on fathers and their critical role of leading their families in the Catholic faith. Dads, please bring your sons. Participants will receive materials and a hearty lunch. Cost $40 per person. Sons 18 and under attend for free. Register at st-therese.org/events today. I don't know if I have much voice left.
Sorry, Paul. I know it's a long plane ride from the Middle East back home.
My.
Yeah. Where is God leading you? Women are invited to the ACCW Advent Morning of Prayer, Praise, and Presentation at St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony, Saturday, December 2nd. So, ladies, if you're not going to the Bible Boot Camp, which is for men, go to the ACCW Advent Morning of Prayer. Greet Advent as women of prayerful discernment. The theme is the question, where is God leading you? Retreat begins at 9 a.m. and concludes with 12 p.m. Mass. The cost is $15 before November 22nd and $20 thereafter. For more information, visit ACCWArchSPM.org or visit the events page on ArchSPM.org.
You're invited to a one-day symposium on man, woman, and the order of creation, which will explore the Catholic vision of the human person in its theological, scientific, and social construct. Goal of the conference is to equip clergy, religious, pastoral ministers, educators, and lay leaders with the pastoral insights they need to reach out to those they serve in truth and in love. Join us on Monday, December 11th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at OEC Auditorium at the University of St. Thomas. More information at stthomas.edu/spssod/about/events. Got that?
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, okay. There will also be an evening event, 7:30 to 9, free, open to the public. It'll be the culmination of the day-long symposium. Registration at the evening event is not required. For more information, call Deborah Savage, P.D. Savage, at stthomas.edu or 651-962-5061.
That sounds like a great event. I'm looking forward to that one. And just, you know, I was reading again that announcement for the ladies' morning of prayer, and I didn't realize it's after November 22nd. So I guess it's $20, but still money well spent. Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to have a regular Great Catholic Parishes show on the first Friday of every month. We'll be talking with Molly Shore, the Director of Parish Life and Evangelization at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park. Molly will be on air to share with us about St. Vincent's recent return series, along with a participant of the series who will talk with us about their experience in learning how to bring loved ones back to the church. That's what's coming up next time, folks. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.